Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, and it is the number one protein bar on the market, in my opinion. 100% chocolate, nuts. Some don't have nuts. That's all right. It tastes like a candy bar, and you can find it at BuiltBar.com. It's your man, Tony Wiggins, with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. You know, that's one of the most annoying things in sports that is really starting to get under my skin is this seemingly lack of credibility that people that report on sports either have that seems to be deserved in some walks of our business, or this thing where most young people or people in general don't believe anything unless they see it. They don't believe anything unless they see it, unless they witness it themselves, and they don't take your word for it. And it wasn't like that back in the day. I never saw Babe Ruth. I was too young. But if somebody told me Babe Ruth was the greatest baseball player ever, I believed it until I got old enough to have my own opinion based on the information I was given. Why can't we get back to that just a little bit? I mean, man, just a little bit. Can we just have these stories that are passed down from sports, especially about stuff that we cover? For years, I would have opinions about the Jaguars. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, it took me to do two or three interviews where I was actually talking to people. And when folks found out that I was actually having these conversations weekly with certain folks, then all of a sudden, you know, my credibility meter went through the roof. And it was like, I was walking around here for two or three years, almost like with I told you so look on my face. But, you know, I don't really roll like that. So I kind of didn't worry about it. But, you know, I was just so it's almost like disheartening when you hear people just question everything all the time, just constantly questioning everything about football, about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes with these guys. I just think, you know, I don't think it just comes out of anywhere. I think it comes out of a good place sometimes. And sometimes what that good place is the access that social media gives people. Everyone has the right to have an opinion about stuff, and I get it. Sometimes what it does, too, it comes from this debate culture we have where too many times what's injected is a lot of subjectivity and a lot of personal feelings about a situation and about a player, where someone takes stuff so personal that they want to put their own spin on stuff, and instead of reporting what it is, they report what they want people to think it is. And therefore, then when people end up later on finding out that it wasn't what the person said it was, then people in the industry start to lose credibility. I really don't think it's a need these days to embellish anything, because social media actually gives everyone so much access. It's not like it was when it used to be. People used to be extremely dependent on you being right because it was so important. Well, now being right is only about just being right so everybody can stay on the same track. It's not important for you to be right now in terms of being right. It's important for you to be right now to stop people from wanting to argue and fuss all the time about sports. Especially when it comes to sports like football, where it takes so many parts, like in Jacksonville, it takes so many parts for this thing to work. And then when things get off the rails, you got 53 players and about 10 coaches and then six front office people where you can start pointing the finger at who to blame. That's a lot of people. In basketball, you got 12 players, but guess what? You got about three people you can really point the blame to. The best player, the second best player, and the head coach. That's pretty much it. Nobody's going to blame the eighth guy on the bench for something going wrong in basketball because he doesn't have a ton of responsibility. But with football, the moving parts are so important that you can say that one guy blew it or one guy didn't do it. They do it to kickers, right? How many times do you see people point at a kicker for blowing a game or a punter for shanking a punt at the wrong time? One person can be responsible. So in a sport like that, I think it's very, very important that we get it right, so that we don't create these false narratives and then create this sort of mistrust. You know, you say, what does this have to do with Jacksonville? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with Jacksonville. Everything. Because when a team is bad, you're constantly trying to figure out who's the culprit. Just like last year, Was it Tom? Was it Dave? Was it Jalen? Was it the fans? Everybody had all of these little spins, and nobody really knew the answer. And then everybody had their own interpretation of it. And then after the season, you saw what everybody ended up thinking it was because of the moves that they ended up making. So, you know, I don't know why and I don't know where we got to the point where we sort of went off the rails with people. Nobody believes anything unless they see it. And I saw that more than anything with the Last Dance documentary. So what we're doing here here on Locked On, we're going through a time machine. So I'm going to take you back through the time machine with some facts. And what I mean by that is I'm going to go back to not one of the years where the Jaguars are actually playing and kind of show you, like, the Last Dance, what they did was, and this is what I told my kids, whenever I had a conversation with them about Michael Jordan, I would often tell them, you kind of have to be in a moment to really understand it, because they weren't obviously old enough. Some of them weren't even born, but they weren't old enough to see him play. You had to be there. So this documentary kind of took you back to that stuff. And now people are even saying, once they saw it, well, this wasn't true, that wasn't true. That documentary, based on where I was and how close I was and how I followed it, everything that documentary said was the way that I remember it being presented back in the day. Now, do I know for a fact that it was all true? Was I there? No, I didn't live in Chicago. But I can tell you what, based on the way that it was presented to me, that stuff, I knew about the pizza store 20 years ago. I always knew he didn't have the flu. So, you know, based on, I always thought Horace Grant was a snitch. I remember that stuff going on. So the information was presented to me that way. So I'm going to go back and show you what was going on when the Jaguars, not when they were playing, but after they found out they were getting the team, what did they do that year prior that led to them to have so much early success? Because now they've taken 7 years to have 1 year of success in 2017. What did the Jaguars do leading up? And what was going on around it? I'm going to use some facts now. I'm gonna point out a whole bunch of pop culture stuff that was going on that allowed them to have some early success. And maybe we can start to try to iron through the difference in the time periods and why things are different now than they were back then. I'll do that here on the Time Machine Week edition of Locked On Jaguars in just 1 second. After I tell you about Built Bar. What is Built Bar? I'm going to tell you what it is. BuiltBar.com is a website where you go and you order the best protein bars I have ever tasted in my life, folks. Let me tell you something. They have 16 different bars. You can get an assortment if you want to. 8 of them have nuts in them. 8 of them don't. I love the mint brownie for my personal taste. Look, very low calorie, very low sugar intake, low carbs, high protein, so you can maintain and even lose weight while you're working out, and you don't have the guilt of being able to enjoy something that you're eating while you're trying to maintain your figure and also get something healthy in your body. So you go to BuiltBar.com, you put in the promo code LockedOnNFL, and you'll get $10 off of your first box. Now, what I want you to do is once you do this, hit me up on social media at Shop Talking Wig or at Locked On Jaguars and let me know that you ordered your order of Built Bar and that you got your discount, because it's very, very important to me that you do that. Enjoy those Built Bars. Do everything you can to eat healthy. Enjoy the Built Bars. Cut all the other stuff out because you don't need it, because you're going to get your fix with Built Bars. You're going to be feeling like you're eating something that you're not supposed to be eating, but you're going to be enjoying it and you're going to be maintaining and getting the fiber and getting all of the protein that you need in your body. So it's BuiltBar.com, Locked On NFL, and enjoy yourself while you're having it. Okay, so time machine. Let's go back. 1993, Charlotte's giving their franchise. A month later, the owners vote 2062 to give the Jaguars their franchise. January of 1994, about a year prior to Carolina hiring their coach, the Jaguars tap Boston College head football coach Tom Coughlin to be their coach and the GM of the football team. They spent a year, 1 year ahead of time, looking at free agents, looking at the draft process, basically, if I recall, and this is when one thing that happened this year, I can tell you what happened this year in my personal life, what was going on. I moved back to Jacksonville. I moved back. I was living in Washington, D.C., had just gotten discharged from the military, was actually active duty on active reserve. I was in the reserves because my reserve unit had been deployed to Haiti. So they activated me, and I was actually doing presidential ground security at Andrews Air Force Base. And I informed them that I would at some point be moving back to Jacksonville, Florida, and would have the chance to go back home and be a part of my hometown getting their football team. So coming back, it was a huge deal for me because I knew what was going to be happening was that this city, this area that I believe, I mean, I had been here before, man, when Bud Adams was landing helicopters and doing all of that stuff. And I had, as a kid in high school, had sold chair backs when they had the bleachers, when they had the Jacksonville Bulls. I knew this area was crazy about football, and I wanted the best for my city, and I got tired of being used by people. And when they got the team, I was shocked and I was surprised. I remember hearing it and I went crazy in D.C., man. I was doing that work, and then I was also bouncing in one of the busiest nightclubs in D.C. So I went crazy, man, with happiness for the prospect of me coming back home. So told a couple of police departments that I was processing with that I wasn't going to be able to finish the process, and I moved back to Jacksonville and took up another trade that I had, which was cutting hair. I had been doing it since I was in high school. And actually, when I was in the military, I was probably making as much money cutting hair in my dorm room than I was actually, you know, on my military paycheck. So decided to come back to Florida and start a career in that. And when I did, man, I found out that this place had gone crazy for football. They had torn down the old Gator Bowl, at least half of it, because people don't realize they had renovated one side of the Gator Bowl. So they had torn down everything except the little piece that they had renovated, and then they wanted to build the other side back up to match that. So they had started that process. And it appeared that what the front office was actually doing was they were going through the motions as if they were preparing for the draft and free agency that year. So it would give them a chance to understand the process of how they would go about it the following year. And people were really, really excited, man, even though, because initially they were going to have football in 1994, but it had gotten delayed to 1995. So to give you an idea of some of the things that, and mind you, I brought up a lot of stuff in that was going on, and I brought up that documentary because people don't believe stuff unless they were there. So I have some facts here, some things that happened in 1994, and to show you how long ago it was, but also how short of a time period it was. Because many times when you talk about the Jaguars, folks say, well, they don't have the tradition, especially when you talk about guys putting guys in the Ring of Honor, how they don't have the tradition. But if they had been winning, folks wouldn't say that about the tradition. They only talk about the lack of tradition because the team has not been winning. A lot of people that listen to this podcast weren't even born. Let me tell you some of the people who were born in 1994. Justin Bieber was born in 1994. Joel Embiid was born in 1994. If you're a rap music fan, Lil Uzi Vert was born in 1994. Jared Goff, the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, was born in 1994. So this is like an entire lifetime for that cat. So the thing is in 1994, I was 25 years old and I was moving back here. That was 25 years ago. So when we say they don't have the tradition, well, at that point, and I'm trying to think in the same vein of a 25-year-old now, when I decided to move, you know, back here, my wife was my first wife was pregnant, and I had a little son who was 2. I had a tradition and I had a love for Jacksonville that I can't imagine now telling, being a 25-year-old and somebody telling me that, you know, my city doesn't have tradition, if for my entire lifetime they would have had an NFL team, which they didn't. Because at that point in my life, I absolutely loved the Redskins. So, you know, they always say you don't have enough tradition. But then, like, say if it was a quote-unquote civil rights issue and I wanted to bring up how things hadn't changed, I said, well, you had enough time to change it. No, it's not. 25 years isn't enough time to change it. If you can't change a tradition of a football team in 25 years, you ain't changing the history of a whole group of people in 25 years either. So I'm going to name some of the things that was going on in that time in the next segment. And I'm going to show you how hard it is for us to really, really embrace and remember things without proper documentation and without really understanding proper accuracy of history being reported in sports. And to hopefully understand that what the Jaguars really, really need to do is take a long-term approach to the way that they're trying to build these football teams and these franchises, because you can really, there's a lot of things that have happened with the Jaguars in these last 25 years that have been forgotten. There's only four seasons that have been memorable. But it should not be that way, because there are too many other memorable things that happen along the way that people remember just fine, but they don't remember about the team. So I'm going to take you through some things that have happened in 1994, the year before the Jaguars started playing professional football. It was the year they started building up. Some of the things that were happening, how much of it did you remember and how much of it did you forget? How you can remember that and tell me on the other side here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, 1994, I moved back to Jacksonville, and Wayne Weaver chose Tom Coughlin to be a coach. Just to give you an idea of some other things that were going on at the time, the average cost of a new home in 1994, while the Jaguars were sitting there trying to come up with a strategy, contemplate a way to approach their inaugural season, which would occur a year later in 1995, the average cost of a new house was $119,000, not in the city, but in the nation. So I can tell you right now, that's probably about $80,000 in Jacksonville. The average price of a new car in the United States was $12,350. The average price of a gallon of gas, get this, folks, $1.09. And it wasn't that far from that a few weeks here ago, but, you know, obviously it was because of the pandemic. You think it wasn't that long ago? Yeah. The first multiracial election happened in South Africa, and Nelson Mandela becomes the president after serving 27 years in prison in South Africa. U.S. President Bill Clinton gives his first State of the Union address. Wow. How about this one? You want to talk about good fortune in a short period of time? Jeff Bezos starts Amazon this year in 1994, around this time. Apple Computer releases the first Power Macintosh system. Wow. The best movie at the Oscars for Best Picture and the Best Director. How about Steven Spielberg and Schindler's List? Deserved also. This isn't best anything, but I just got two letters for you in 1994. OJ. Yep. Happened that year in the spring. I remember where I was. I was in Miami, actually. I was deployed from D.C. down at Homestead Air Force Base trying to get that place back together because they had been a couple of years removed from Hurricane Andrew. I remember that. George Foreman beat Michael Moore to become the oldest heavyweight champ in the history of boxing. How about this one? Sony released PlayStation in Japan. Yep. Man. All of that stuff happened that long ago, and this was a year before the Jaguars first started playing. So some of those things seem like they were yesterday because they're so memorable, and some of them seem like they're just so far long ago. And it seems like a long, long time ago when it was announced that the Jaguars had this team. It would seem like yesterday. It would seem like yesterday if they had been winning. Just imagine the Patriots dynasty lasted like 20 years. You feel me? It seems like yesterday that Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe. You see what I'm talking about? So the Jaguars' history and their legacy is only like 5 years older than that. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how when you win, it seems like it's that. But it's amazing when you lose, there's so much that you don't remember and so many things that are uneventful. So how does it change? What do we do? I think if you want to be remembered long term, you take a long term approach to everything and not a short term approach. Stop signing players for 3 years. I've been saying that. You're hedging your bets. I don't care what the salary cap looks like 3 years from now. You have to assume that if you don't win, you won't be here to manage that beautiful salary cap. You have to assume that if you don't win, somebody else will be here the same way the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA. Well, somebody else will be here managing that beautiful salary cap. So you know what? Stop hedging your bets. Stop trying to protect yourself. I'm talking to Dave. I'm talking to Doug. I'm talking to all those dudes. It has to be a win now mentality, but it has to be a win now with proper maintenance and proper infrastructure for the future. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can do it. I think you can do it all, which is why I'm kind of happy with the fact that they're going with Gardner Minshew. Give him a shot. What the hell else you got to lose? He's just like you. People thought you didn't deserve to keep your job, right? So anybody that doesn't think that this kid needs to keep his job, understand that you have to understand why those guys want to keep him, because he's just like them. He's an underdog. Let the underdogs all run together. That's just the way I see it, all right? That's just the way I see it. It's fun, man, doing the time machine, because as we get closer and closer to the season, in fact, in the coming weeks, we're going to do this in other years too. Today around the Locked On Network, they were doing the year two. They were doing 1990. I didn't want to do 1990 because, you know what, we weren't even thought about it in the NFL, but I did try to get as close as I can to 1995 without actually doing 1995, because I'll do 1995 when we start doing the years with the 5 series. But I wanted to do 1994. What was going on the year we were awarded the team, and what was the team doing building up to that little run that they had? And what were all the things, and what was the pop culture going on like around the team at the time? And what was everyone thinking about? I know this, man, through all of that madness, we were some happy folks, because it was, I just named a bunch of things, some things good, some things bad. There were some wars going on in Bosnia and Rwanda and things that I didn't mention. And I'll give you that to give you this. As bad as 2020 has been, man, and I even jokingly posted yesterday that 2020, we need a timeout and all of this stuff. And yeah, you know, I lost my grandmother this year. And then right after that, a month later, COVID-19 came and people have lost their business. And we've all, you know, had to learn how to adjust. And of course, there have been political arguments both ways. And I may have lost a friend or two, and that'll be fine, too. But make no mistake about it, man. There's always a light, a light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe if we do this thing right, we'll have something to smile about, too, that regardless of how bad things go during the year, there's always something, and there'll be always something for us to cheer about. And usually sports has something to do with that. So just think about that, and I hope you enjoyed this. And it was a fun exercise for me. And we'll be doing stuff like this all week, all right? So tune in around our entire network. Check out our Locked On NFL. You can click on that on social media. And, of course, the links will be obviously on the Twitter accounts and stuff like that. And then you can subscribe to us and subscribe to them on iTunes and Apple, and follow along on Spotify. But until then, join me again tomorrow for another Locked On podcast here on the Locked On Jaguars Network. This is your man, Tony Wiggins.